walk. I've had a good time today, fellowshipping and the meal. I didn't eat much because I was going to be up here, so I held back on a lot of stuff I wanted. That old flesh, you know how it does. When you're raised up, Ron's always talking about how he's raised up poor. And, well, I don't know that I wasn't poorer than him, but anyway. We'd always probably eat more than we needed. There's a church in Washington County, I'll tell this story. And the title of my message today is called Bugs and Spiders. And it sounds a little silly, but just bear with me. In 1904, God placed a church in Washington County called the Battle Baptist Church. And I happened to come along, and God called me to be their pastor. And when we got the church, we got everything that come along with the church. The church had a reputation and some things that people didn't know the church had. It was built in 1904, okay? It's 117 or 18 years old right now. And my wife and I, after we'd done some makeovers and cleaned everything up, we'd go down to clean the church ever so often, and we couldn't get rid of the bugs and the spiders and the wasp and all the critters that had set up house in God's house. And ladybugs, you name it, the wind is full of dead wasps. I mean, it was old. It was an old building, and those bugs had done established a place that they liked in that old 100-and-something-year-old building. I guess really, if you want today to really give a lot of thought to how important Grace Missionary Baptist Church ought to be to us. In John chapter 2, I'll give you time to turn there. We'll start this message. I'll say, too, we went to the fellowship meeting Friday night, and I had a good time in the Lord at the fellowship. In John chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse 13, just keep the story about the bugs and spiders in your mind, okay? You know, one more thing. We covered that building up. We put, we painted, we put rugs down, we dropped the ceiling, we added on, we put a new roof on it. We covered all that old building up, but there's still an old building there. And we even fogged it and couldn't get rid of the bugs. They'd be back in 3 or 4 weeks. And just remember that story as we read here in the Word of God. John chapter 2, 13. I want to thank Brother Bennett for allowing me to come to his pulpit and preach to you as well. John chapter 2 and verse 13. The Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and dove and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of a small cord, or a whip, if you want to call it that, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold the doves, take these things hence, and make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, there in Psalms 69 and verse 9. And then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. And you know, Jesus had a body like ours. It pumped blood, it had feelings, he had a heart. And when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. You know, Satan took Jesus out into the wilderness, and man, he threw everything before Jesus. He threw the kingdoms of the world and power and hunger. He tried to tempt him. He tried to do all kinds of things to Jesus Christ. You know why Jesus Christ can stand in our place? Because he couldn't be moved. He couldn't be tempted. He couldn't even hunger of the flesh, and he did hunger. He did have need, and Satan tried his best to do that. You know, the only thing that will clean is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God. Brother Bennett, it's hard to follow after him because he dances all over some of the scriptures you're going to use, but that's good. Shouldn't be tired. You know, it takes one and only one thing to clean our lives every day. It just don't happen on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon and Wednesday. It ought to be happening every day. Because I'm telling you, and I'll read this here in a little bit, but our temples get dirty as individuals. They get dead bugs and spiders in them a whole lot. And they burden us and they wear us down and they pull us back when really what we need is God's children and God's people and is His Word. We need this church. Amen. Jesus went in there and cleaned it out. He threw it over. He turned it over. He scared them. He scared them. Not only that, we need to stand as God's people and proclaim these things. If you want a puppet show, go next door. That's something that needs to be clean out of the house of God if it's there. It takes the Holy Spirit to save anybody that's sitting here that's saved today. If you're lost here today, it'll be God's mercy and His Holy Spirit that saves you. Coming to church, true worship and the truth of God's Word, the only way you can have it. In true singing, in true studying of the Word of God, in the choir. Did you know when I come to church on Wednesday nights and I get to sing in the choir practicing, I look forward to that. Because most of the time I need that spiritual uplifting we get when we sing, even when we're practicing. Because this house needs cleaned. If you will turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word came down here to us. And the Word went and cleaned the temple out in His day. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. These hoarders of the world think they got it all when they got nothing, because it all belongs to God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Brother Bennett preached to us this morning. The I Am. We got a pastor that we can come to, a pastor and a pastor that we can feed from. Some of us don't come here on Wednesday nights because we're too busy, and we got the world too wrapped up in our bodies. We've got filled up with bugs and spiders, and we sing all these songs about loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts, and sometimes I'm ashamed to sing them. Because I want to love Him with all my heart. And I don't know that can happen in this life completely. I think it's a day coming soon. John 1:6 says, "And there was a man sent from God whose name was John." You see, God sends people in our lives to make a difference and to be used of Him. And to help keep our real estate clean from the bugs and the spiders and the garbage that's in this world. This man was John the Baptist. Our pastor studies harder than I do, because I'm not your pastor. But that's a shame, really. We're God's people. Think about what I'm saying. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. We're sent here to bear witness of the light. We need each other. Am I my brother's keeper? I sure am. We got some hard times coming. We better be closer to God. See, we're saved and we know it. The Bible says we know it. But this old flesh is still the same in so many words and so many sense. Sometimes we cover our lights up, as John was speaking about. What a shame. It's a shame that even God's people are not recognizable as God's people sometimes. Jesus is the only one can clean us up from that. We all get that way. You think I'm picking on somebody here? I'm not. I get sick of myself. John 1:8 says, "And he was not that light," John the Baptist wasn't, "but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." In verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. But listen, "and the world knew him not." Quit worrying about what the world has to think about you. Romans 6:5 says that we're planted together. "For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, in baptism to this body, this church, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." I buried a friend Friday. He's with the Lord today. We put that body in the ground, but he will be resurrected someday. Know this, Romans 6:6, it says, "Know this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Well, why do we allow our lives to get so crammed up with the garbage of this world, whether it's movies, phones, just even talking? Why do we do that? The body of sin is destroyed. It means it can cause no harm for us in eternity. That's what it means. I'm glad. I'm glad God's long-suffering. And man, do I deserve hell. All of us do. God didn't save us for us, for our reason, for his own self. And he had a right to. For goodness sakes, he created us. Well, that's not the God I serve, brother. Well, then you don't know the God of the Bible. Paul had trouble with the saints at Galatians. And in Galatians 2:20, he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith and of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Christ died for us. For us. Think about that. The next time you decide, man, I don't feel like going to church. Hey, it don't matter. They don't need to be there. I had a lady I used to take to church down Battle, and she'd say, oh, that church don't need no money. They got all the money they need. That was her excuse for not paying her tithes. I'm not excusing us at all in what we live in. The way God made us and put us in. We have a covering of Christ that covers us. We have no excuse not to give God our all, but we don't. Amen. We don't. I don't. Our pastor reminds us of this in Romans. Paul reminds us, but our pastor does too. He sums up the whole message I have here this afternoon in Romans 7:4. You know, you hear people say when children mess up, they'll say, oh, he's just a boy. That's what boys do. And I'm not preaching this like this. We've got Christ to fight this battle we must fight, to get the bugs and the spiders all out of our lives. We wonder why we're not close to the Lord sometime. Because we love the world more than we do the Lord. It's true. Even saved. You know, we're saved and then we think, oh, that's good, I'm saved. But that's not the end of needing Christ, needing Grace Missionary Baptist Church, because this is the body of Christ in this world. I don't like this and I don't like that about my church, so I'm just not going to go all the time. Shame on you. Then you must not love the Lord Jesus Christ when you have a church that preaches the truth of God's Word and a pastor that studies his heart out so that you can hear the truth. No excuse. Yeah, we've got to deal with the flesh until we leave this life. I felt a peace when I was in the ICU, and after the know-it-all doctors, and I say that and I mean that, and I'm not picking on doctors, anybody that here that's connected with that, but there's a lot of them that think they know it all. God knows it all. They laid me in that bed, and they had all the wires and the IVs and all the oxygen, and I couldn't breathe very good. And I knew I was pretty close to leaving this life, but God knew I wasn't. I just felt it. So weak I couldn't walk from here to that step, or not even that far. And I'm telling you this, that was okay. I felt a peace. That's okay. Father, I'm in your hands. I'm in your hands. If I don't wake back up tonight, that's okay. That's okay! That's a peace that I've never felt. Because I knew it wasn't in my control or anybody's control whether I live through that night or not. Well, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. I heard that. My wife heard it and I heard it. But I didn't die. I'm here. I even grew a beard, by the way. Then I had a stroke. And if I say something that don't sound right, forgive me. I don't think I'll curse when I do it. But sometimes words just jump in my mind and I don't know where they come from. It's kind of funny, really. We're going down the road and I was putting my seatbelt on the other day. And I said, well, I got to put my deodorant on. And it was my seatbelt. That's normal, isn't it? The old flesh is weak. Y'all see the need of our church. Y'all see the need of today. We had a good time and it was fellowship in the Lord. The best time we had was when our pastor preached the Word of God to us. But we need this church to clean the bugs and the spiders out that are dead. This world is dead. This flesh is dead. Did you know that? It really is. corners get all full of dead wasps and ladybugs. Man, we had a world of ladybugs. I could have sold them if it was worth any money. But I want them out of my life. I want to serve the Lord and love Him the way He's called me to love Him. And the way we do the house cleaning, not only here at Grace Missionary Baptist Church for the next year coming and the rest of my life, is to apply the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ to my life every day. And I fight it too with you. I'm right here in the battle. Your pastor's right here in the battle with you. And we know what it's like. And man, it's a battle. Paul said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am, in Romans 7:14, Paul said, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Why is that? I lay down at night in the bed and I'll have an evil thought and I'll say, Father, please help me. See, most people won't be honest about that. I don't want to have them. I want to please the Lord. I don't want to do the wrong thing. That's what changes in a child of God. That new creation is inside of us and the soul of us that God saved. I don't want to worry. Will I die here in a minute? It's okay. He even tells us that death is ours. See, it's part of that doubt and that bugs in the world and Satan turning us away from this place. We don't know how important this place is. When we think we can just push it aside and let other things take a precedence in our lives. Games and gimmicks and garbage that really does not matter in eternity. Somebody said the football player gets a touchdown, he runs down to there and he kneels down and he does this. What's that mean? All that symbolizes is rank heresy. When we serve the true living God and the only Savior that there is and know that Jesus saves this ugly old flesh, someday when it's resurrected, we know that that's garbage. It's all a theater. It's all theatrical. Most religions are. Make enough noise and holler and scream and jump loud enough. Listen, if God don't hear you when you whisper and pray to Him, He don't hear you at all. You don't have to scream and show yourself and so the world can see you. Romans 7:16 says, and then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law. That is good. Paul said, the law's a good thing. And now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that it dwells in me. Saved sinners we are. Saved sinners saved by the grace of God. Well, Brother Mark, how do you push that world away from you? How are you truly focused on the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you wonder? You read your Bible, you pray to God, you come here and serve Him and hear the truth preached. To clean the bugs and the spiders and the garbage that's in your life out. Because it's going to keep coming back. Well, I got my dose of God today, I don't need no more. That's the way people act. Sometimes I wonder if those folks that think that way even know who God is and the Lord Jesus Christ. For I know, Paul said in Romans 7:18, that in me, that is in the flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You see, he says it. There's no good thing in this. No good thing in this, in the flesh. If we didn't have the grace and the power of God, we wouldn't be here tonight. None of us. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Remember what I told you about having bad thoughts and being tempted and sin corrupting our minds and this flesh? It still does it. It'll keep doing it until we take our last breath. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Evil. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You see, we're still sinners. This is Paul. This is the Apostle Paul, taught by Jesus Christ himself. He's explaining why it's so hard for us to give our all in this life. It's a battle. I want to accomplish it if I can. Now if I do that, verse 20, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find, verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see, listen to what he says, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me to captivity in the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I say, Lord, why'd you save me for sometime? Because he wanted to. It ain't because I'm special. Ain't nothing special about me. This old flesh is just as stinking as any man that's ever lived without the grace of God. The only thing holds me back from being the sorriest, lowest life person in this world is the grace of God. I mean, that's right. See, I almost said, I thought I said that wrong, but I said it right. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, Paul said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Romans 8:10. That's my go-to chapter, Romans 8. It just blesses me so much. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. See, it's dead. The body's dead. Brother Mark, I'm still walking and talking and my heart's still beating. It's dead. We're made alive in Christ. You see, our life is in Him. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. You wonder why we get so cluttered up with all this dead stuff? Because we're dead in the flesh. But alive unto Jesus Christ. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, here it is again, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know why you get so mad and aggravated at yourself when sin gets all messed up in this flesh? It's Because there ain't enough room for that in the Lord Jesus Christ here. And He wants you to get it out. That's your responsibility and my responsibility. To hear the Word of God. Not Lonnie Bennett or not Mark Williams. To hear God. This is not mine. It's God's and it belongs to you if you're a child of God. The Spirit that dwelleth in you. Brother the other night made a comment, and he was right about it. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You see, it takes God, it takes the Lord Jesus Christ to clean us and to keep us by faith. Faith in Him. That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. When you get so anxious and so wrapped up in all of this world that's going to die and pass away, I'm telling you, if you are a true child of God, you can't live with yourself. You can't do it. I got to make this right. I got to pray and ask forgiveness. I got to go to church. I got to read my Bible. I need to get on my hands and knees and go to my closet, if you got one that you can get in, and pray. Most of us got closets full of junk we don't need. Boy, the age we're living, man, do we need to be God's people. Amen. First Corinthians 6:20 says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Your responsibility. You know, most people say, well, I don't like his attitude. I don't think I'll go back to church. That's wrong. If he's preaching the truth, that's your problem. Some people leave church at nothing. It's probably because there's nothing in them. Some things are worth leaving, I'll just tell you sometimes. But they better be right when you're leaving that church of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're spiritual people. We're born of God. Y'all remember that message I preached, I think, the last time? We're born of God. Nicodemus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee in John 3:5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But we still got to battle this. Still got to fight the fight. The greatest battle right now in our United States of America, and believe me, the other battle's coming, okay? It's coming so fast, our churches are in greater danger now than ever. Because nobody wants to be told what God has to tell them. Right now, the greatest battle is between us and the world. As individuals, but it makes up this church, you see. If one of us gets weak in the flesh and we let it build up and we don't want to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't come here to fellowship with each other in one sense. In one sense, you come here to fellowship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ in His temple, His church, His true church. It's like having a bunch of little temples in here with a bunch of dirt in them. You didn't even ask God to forgive you. You didn't ask God to clear your hearts and minds of this stuff before you even come here. I wonder if we ever attain, really, in a lot of churches, true worship to God. True hallelujahs. a lot of us, not as individuals, and sometimes as whole churches, I think. We come here weary because we stayed up to all kinds of excuses that the flesh will make. Well, somebody better not say something to me. I don't feel good today. And I'm not going to talk to somebody, or I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to. Childish! When you have the Spirit of God that dwells in you, Romans 8:1 said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ Jesus. Boy, I'm glad this is so true. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Brother Bennett used this the other day, but there ain't no way you can preach without running into something Brother Bennett's already preached or used. The Bible's huge anyway, so he doesn't care if I use it all either. If I got up here and preached the same message and it was the message God laid on my heart that he preached this morning, it ought to be all right with the children of God. Some of you may be sitting here on your high horse, and you may be thinking, well, I don't need this message, and I don't need that message, and I'm doing good there. No, you're not. It's just a matter of seconds before you fail God in the flesh. You see how important this place is? I'm happy that God put me where he put me here. I know more about the Bible now than I've ever known. I'm a preacher. I'm not ashamed to say that in the sense of what I've got since I've been here. And I'm ashamed because I didn't know more before. You see, we're all weak in this flesh, but what makes us strong as God's spiritual people is Jesus Christ. It's his word. We're the only ones in this world got the promise that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. His church, his people, those that are saved, truly saved. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. You know who saves? God justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us because of all the luggage we got, the temple we carry. And then probably the most favorite verses in the Bible. And I'm so glad of this when I get down on myself and I know that the closeness of to my Savior, I have messed up for the week sometimes. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famines or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Bible says we didn't love him first. He loved us. Amen. So next time I pray that you think about how tired you are, how you've done enough today and you really don't have to give God what he has already, to think about all the bugs and spiders that you're allowing to build up in your life, or you've got bad attitude about the preacher or about somebody here. I don't want to see them people. It ain't about people. It's about the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about coming here to the pastor to graze upon the Word of God. As brother preached to us this morning about hearing about the great I am. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what we do as God's people, if you're truly saved here tonight, you'll always be saved. And you won't give Him all that you can, at least. You can't unsave yourself, because you didn't save yourself. God did.